CHRW Radio Western.
Ontario election 1999. CHRW Radio's continuing coverage of the provincial election. A focus of talk radio.
And good evening. I'm Mike Pereira with a special edition of Talk Radio, the debate with the candidates of London West. And we have our candidates here today. I'll allow them an opening statement in alphabetical order. We will start with Sandra McNee from the New Democratic Party.
Good evening. I'm Sandra McNee, and I've lived in London West for the last 23 years. I've been very much involved in my community, and I know my riding. I know London West. I'm clearly on the side of people. I'm clearly on your side. I'm the New Democrat candidate in London West because I'm concerned about 21.6% cuts to social assistance, an unworkable Ontario workfare plan, a clawback of child tax benefits from the federal government. These are harsh cuts and they've hurt people. McNee is a candidate because this government has hurt my neighbors. I'm a New Democrat candidate because I believe that we have a party with six clear, doable point platform that we've developed after consultation across the province. We know working people's concerns. We know that health care and education, access to affordable housing, access to work, and a concern about our environment are the things that are concerning people in Ontario. Our agenda is a people agenda. It's not a corporate agenda.
Thank you very much. And we move on to our next candidate from the Freedom Party, Mr. Jack Plant.
Hi, my name is Jack Plant, and I'm proud to represent the Freedom Party of Ontario in London West. Freedom Party is a different kind of a political party, and we see the three main parties as essentially in a narrow band on the one side of the spectrum, essentially on the left. Freedom Party is a philosophically based party. We have principles that we've been based on since the party was founded that will never change. We believe in freedom, obviously, and by freedom we don't mean license. We mean freedom from the unwarranted intervention of government in our lives. We don't mean freedom from the landlord or freedom from obligations or commitments that we've made in our life. We believe that every individual in the peaceful pursuit of individual fulfillment has an absolute right to his life, to his property, and to his freedom. We stand for individual rights and responsibilities together, and we believe that since the government has usurped so many of the responsibilities of the individual's lives from individuals, that they have slowly and more often and continually eroded the individual rights of people and eroded the dignity of individuals and the foundation of our society.
Thank you. And our next candidate is the Liberal candidate, Daryl Skidmore.
Good evening. My name is Daryl Skidmore, and I'm pleased to be the candidate for the Liberal Party for London West. I believe that it's time in this province that we began again to put people first. That has not been the case for the last 4 years. We need to have a platform, and which is ours, that balances the need for attention to people through attention to health care, education, the environment, along with the commitment to have a sound fiscal policy. We are dedicated to restoring health care and education in this province. We are dedicated to balancing the budget, which we have committed to. The resources are there and available to do it. Quite simply, we need a candidate who will put people first, and that is the issues on which I will stand.
Thank you. And our incumbent candidate from the Progressive Conservative Party, Bob Wood.
Thank you, Mark. We're asking for a mandate to continue moving Ontario in the right direction under strong leadership. The people asked for real change for the better 4 years ago, and we think we've been able to accomplish that. We have 540,000 net new jobs created. We have 370,000 people who've moved from dependence on social assistance to independence. We have communities that are much safer now than they were 4 years ago, and we've embarked on some long-needed changes in both healthcare and education that are going to get us 21st century healthcare and better student achievement. We think it's a record that the people should endorse so that we can do more.
And thank you. And we will move on to the next part of our debate. And this, I remind you that later on in the debate, you can call in. Caller 661-3600 is the number. That's 661-3600 to ask a question of all the candidates. And for my part, I will ask several questions of the candidates. My first question is a question in terms of the local nature of your campaigns from the local perspective. The environment in and around London is an issue of local concern. Namely, I can name the Greenway waste plant in London West, and there are some concerns around pollution. And my question is generally open to all candidates. How does your party and how do you stand on the environment and with a local focus? And I will go in order of how I see you here. So, Mr. Wood, and then I'll move all around the table.
Well, I've lived here in London all my life, and I can remember fishing in the Thames River some 45 years ago, and the river actually stank. So we've come a long way in improving how we deal with the environment over the period of my lifetime. And we are committed to achieving results throughout the province that will result in a much better quality of air, water, and soil throughout the province. And in the last 4 years, we've been able to improve the quality of all three, and we're going to work very hard to continue that.
Thank you, Mr. Wood. Mr. Skidmore.
Very clearly, the environment should be an issue in this election. This government has cut 45% from the Ministry of the Environment, despite promising that they would not do that at the outset. They have fired inspectors to the point that we do not even have enough people to go out and inspect complaints, or let alone to do something about it. Ontario is now the third worst polluter in North America, and frankly, there are 1,800 people who die prematurely in Ontario every year as a direct result of the pollution that we have. Our party will pass an Ontario Clean Air Act, an Ontario Safe Drinking Water Act, and we will put some controls related to hazardous and toxic waste so that the United States is no longer, or we are no longer a dumping ground for the United States. Quite frankly, this government's track record related to the environment is abysmal, and we have to do something about it. This is an issue, and young people and young families have legitimate concerns in this area.
Thank you. And Ms. McNee.
I don't know how Mr. Wood can say that he's proud of what's going on. It's my understanding that this government has cut 700 pollution environmental inspectors. With our 6% tax cut, we would put $50 million back into getting tough with polluters, rehire 500 environmental inspectors. All of London remembers the smog last summer. It's my understanding this government received a letter from New York State stating that we are a polluter. I'm concerned about children's health. I'm concerned about everyone's health in this city. The New Democratic Party would implement an Ontario Clean Air Alliance pollution to reduce reduction of targets to fight smog. We have environment is often left third after health care and education, but it is of the utmost importance that we all work toward stopping further pollution.
Thank you, and I move on now to the to Mr. Plant.
This is going to be a main theme that I'll touch on tonight. The main problem we have here with the environment, I think, is that the solutions to it are in the hands of the government. Wherever you get state control over the environment, you'll see more problems. They're much better down in California, where the economy's allowed more to run free, the free market economy. We may have laid off 700 inspectors and gotten rid of some laws, but those laws weren't doing anything. There was a show on TV a while ago about the enforcement of these laws, and they really are not accomplishing much. There are fundamental laws that are still in place that are responsible for much of the cleanup, but a lot of the bureaucrats and the laws weren't accomplishing anything, and they weren't recovering any of the costs. They were spending millions of dollars and recovering very little in the courts. We seem to think somehow that if government passes laws and has inspectors, that the problem is going to be taken care of, and this is simply not the case, and I don't think anybody can really tell you any different. Freedom Party believes that the solution to the environment problems is private property rights and the protection of private property rights.
Thank you, and I'll remind everyone, soon we'll open in the lines for questions from you, the audience. 661-3600 is the number, 661-3600. And I move on to my second question. A big issue in the provincial campaign is tax cuts, and it seems to be a focus of the campaign. I'll move right on in the reverse order and ask you, Mr. Plant, tax cuts, what do you think about that? What do you think about tax cuts?
Tax cuts are always a great idea. Taxes are a cancer on our society. They decrease productivity. They help us lose jobs. They're just restrictive in every sense of the word. I understand people's concern that they like to see the debt paid down with a surplus and not have tax cuts, but tax cuts are absolutely essential to spur productivity and to motivate people. The tax burden we have in this province and in this country is obscene. We're stuck in it. I can understand the Liberals and the NDP. They don't mind taxes. They'd like to see more taxes on everybody, especially the rich and the corporations, which are taxed to death now. They may not pay income tax, but they certainly pay all kinds of other corporate taxes and business taxes and every health taxes and every kind of tax you can think. And I think they're strapped to the limit. The restrictions and the regulations and the taxes we put on business can cause a lot of trouble, and we're seeing us get back to a little bit of a balanced approach now, and I hope it continues.
Ms. McNee, how do you stand on tax cuts?
I see the 30% that the Ontario government has given to the very rich as a Robin Hood approach, that they rob from the poor to give to the elite of this province. My party, the New Democratic Party, would reverse the Harris-Tutz cuts for the wealthy few who benefit. Only individuals with taxable income over $80,000, we would give the money back into health care, education, and our communities.
Thank you. And Mr. Skidmore, how do you stand on tax cuts?
Well, very clearly, I think we have to put in perspective what the 30% tax cut has done that this government moved forward with. First of all, the entire tax cut of $10 billion was on borrowed money. The 30% tax cut added $10 billion to our debt, our overall debt. Quite simply, that's not acceptable. This issue of the 30% tax cut supposedly having created 500,000 plus jobs is absurd. That's the direct result of the 500,000 jobs is a direct result of the boon of the American economy and the fact that our dollar has been so low. The trickle-down effect of a 30% tax cut can't do it. We'll eventually move to a 20% tax cut that will be aimed at middle and lower middle-income families in the second year of our mandate, only after we have balanced the budget. To move to a further reduction in services for people of this province in health and education is absurd if, in fact, it's necessary at all. So, quite frankly, we're supportive of a 20% tax cut. But the 20% tax cut that we will deal with will come after we have balanced the budget.
And Mr. Wood, how do you stand on tax cuts?
I'm for them. This is one of the clearest differences between our party and the other two parties. They are tax and spend parties. And tax and spend, after 10 years, got us no economic growth whatever. What we believe in is a growth agenda. It's been known for 40 years that tax cuts create jobs. And Daryl, by the way, we now lead the United States in growth. Growth in Ontario last year was twice that of the rest of Canada. This is not a coincidence. The reason this is happening, the reason that 540,000 people have a future in this province who didn't have a future before, is because of our economic policies. And if we are going to pay for what we need in health care and education, all the other quality of life issues, we must have the tax revenues. And we get tax revenues by cutting taxes and increasing economic growth. In actual fact, after we cut taxes, tax revenues went up $5 billion.
Thank you, and I'll now move on to individual questions to the candidates. And I again invite people to call in at 661-3600 and ask some questions. The candidates want you to ask them questions so they can answer. What I'll be doing is, I guess I'll move in the same order as I've been. I'll start with the Mr. Plant from the Freedom Party. You're from a non-major party, and it's usually hard to gain exposure in elections as not being one of the big three. And how do you find campaigning as a candidate? How has that been, and how have you been able to express your ideas through the election?
Well, I'm always pretty expressive, and I find one of the things with Freedom Party is that since we do have principles that have never changed since the inception of the party and never will change, people find that somehow to be sort of an adamant point of view, and it works against us a lot of times. They'd like us to change to their way of thinking, but the principles we believe in, I believe, are solid principles. It's a little different for me because I know I have no chance of being elected, so I don't have to try and phrase anything or try and tell people what they want to hear. I can tell the truth.
And I'm just curious. I'll just follow that one up. We have some more time. You know that you don't that you probably won't be elected. So what are you running for actually?
Well, we're running to make the public aware. I'd like to encourage anybody, if they get any lesson out of this election, is to try and consider that there all are alternatives out there. We've influenced policy over the years. We've had successful campaigns. We pushed for years for Sunday shopping, which finally came in. We stopped the tax funding of the Pan Am Games in 91 that was going to cost the City of London several million dollars, and got ministers and changed people's MPPs' minds on that. But we are pushing, and we hope to educate people. And for example, in the last election, we found that the more the Conservatives came over to our policies, the more they took people from us, and the more people jumped on their bandwagon. And we're happy to see that. We're happy to see people take over our ideas. And really, elections are just sort of a blip in what Freedom Party does. We educate throughout the year, and we work with other groups all across the province to try and form some sort of coalition to form an alternative.
Okay. Thank you very much. And now I'll move on to the NDP party, Sandra McNee. And the Howard Hampton seems not to place a focus on balancing the Ontario budget. Many have said that balancing a budget is a great priority. Can you explain this, and why do you think a balanced budget might not be as important as spending on more social programs?
Perhaps you don't understand that what we're saying in the New Democratic Party is that we would roll back 6% of the 30% tax cut to people who make over $80,000 a year, and we would immediately put that back into health care, education, the environment,
cut in university tuitions. You know that across Canada, the New Democratic Party has had balanced budgets in other provinces. We're aware of coming into a government that would have a deficit. But what our six-point platform is saying, this is what we do when we're elected. This is the first start. And certainly I, as a poverty candidate, have accepted the fact that what we can do is increase the shelter allowance so that we'll have fewer homeless. I would dream that we'd roll back the 21.6%. We can't do that when we're first elected. But I certainly would be there pushing that we do more of that.
All right, and another thing that interested me is the when Bob Rae got in, it seemed that there was a wish list of social services which seemed to increase the amount of indebtedness our province had. But will there be something similar to that?
Well, the economic situation when Mr. Rae was elected was not the boom that we've dovetailed into with the United States now, and a great deal of careful thinking went into how can Ontario keep the social assistance programs going when people were unemployed and when the revenue wasn't coming in. We're in two entirely different, through no fault or praise to the province of Ontario, we're in a very different economic situation right now.
And I'll put the individual questions on hold. We have a caller, and I'll allow the caller to ask the question of all the candidates, and I'll, of course, resume the individual questioning.
Hi, my name is Ern. My concern right now is, as a downtown shopper and a person that does live near downtown, and I'm very concerned about the hollowing out of downtown London. I've seen a lot of businesses close. I've seen TD Branch on Richmond close, Mr. T's, London Heritage Market, Harry Rosen close in the Galleria, Docksiders, and it's like hundreds of jobs laid off at London Life through corporate restructuring. I'm wondering how they're going to pump more money into the economy of downtown London, given the fact that it seems like all the money is moving to suburbia, Masonville, and South London, and yet the consumers of downtown London don't. It seems like it's just decaying, and it continues to decay. And I wonder what sort of answers the provincial politicians have towards this continuing decay of downtown London.
On the downtown London issue, I will move across the opposite way in our little arrangement here. Mr. Wood, can you answer that question for our caller?
I think those are very legitimate concerns, and we've done a couple of things that we think will help. One is to change the assessment law so that the municipalities, if they do decide to increase taxes, can't load it disproportionately on the commercial industrial base, which is what a lot of municipalities did when they wanted to raise taxes because it was politically easier. We've also changed the assessment laws so that the taxes you pay relate more directly to what the property is actually worth, and that is going to make it easier for people to do business downtown. We've also had to address some community safety issues, which is the reason for the Ontario Crime Control Commission, which I co-chair. And there's some, we have had some community safety issues in downtown London. We have worked with police forces and others throughout the province to come up with some answers. And there are answers there, and we're working with the municipalities to help them answer those concerns and improve their downtowns. London's downtown is not the only downtown in the province that has this problem, and we're working actively with the municipalities to get some answers.
Now I'll move on to Mr. Skidmore. Can you answer our caller's downtown London question?
Well, first of all, I think that the statement by Mr. Wood that they've assisted through their municipal restructuring, is simply not accurate. The small businesses and medium-sized businesses in this city and throughout the province remain very concerned about what the municipal restructuring of taxes has meant. Quite simply put, they introduced the act in the first place, then took seven amendments before they thought they got it right, and yet small businesses and medium-sized businesses are still feeling threatened. We are going to try and balance that, and in an effort to do that, we are going to introduce a special tax that will be of assistance at the municipal level for small businesses. Equally importantly, I think it's time that we started taking a look at having an effort to do things in combination between the municipality and the provinces, and I have had some discussions with the mayor around this. There is, in fact, a need to start taking a look at how we can develop some coalitions related to the kind of issues that are being faced by downtown.
And thank you, Ms. McNee.
I think coalitions is a good point, and to have people downtown will make our city vibrant. The New Democratic Party, of course, would allot money for affordable housing. We know there are people downtown that can't afford rents, or they're paying 80% of their monthly income on rents. I'd live downtown if there was affordable housing down there. One of the concerns for the municipality is the downloading of things like ambulance services, public health, public housing. And I think that our city's in a bit of a dilemma. They're not sure what the ramifications of that's going to be. Now, before Mr. Wood tells me it isn't ambulances, okay, something's on hold for just 1 year. But I think our city's in a dilemma as to just where their tax base is.
And I will move on to Mr. Plant.
Well, I've lived in London all my life, and I hung around downtown for a lot of years, and I love it down there, but it's the politicians that have destroyed it, quite simply, with the restrictions on building, the heritage provisions, the stupid S-curve they built out in East London, destroyed East London out there. The taxes are outrageous. Ask any businessman down there. They have extra taxes. They have business taxes. They have sign taxes. They have the business improvement area taxes. And, you know, the politicians in the city here just seem to do all the wrong things. They think building a big arena or something down there is going to somehow revive downtown, and it's not. We need to make it more competitive and open it to free market forces more and allow the businessmen the freedom to save themselves down there without government intervention.
And with that, we will move on to our second question and final question from our members of the audience, and go ahead.
Yes, hello. My name is Andrew, and I'm a student, and I'm just wondering about all your party's education platforms.
That's a good question. Thank you, Andrew. The education, how does your party stand on education? I'll kind of move from the center for Mr. Skidmore and then move around.
Very clearly, we view education as an investment, and whether that's in primary education or whether it's in post-secondary education, it's absolutely incredible that the tuition fees have been allowed to increase by 60% in this province in the last 4 years, a reduction of $400 million to colleges and universities is unacceptable. When I met with the executive of the Student Council of the University of Western Ontario, they were indicating to me that last year alone, the tuition fees went up a minimum of 20.3% to a maximum of nearly 110%. That some people are coming out with indebtedness of $75,000, $45,000, and in the specialized programs, in excess of $115,000. We're going to roll back tuition fees 10%. We are going to put $400 million back into colleges and universities, and we're going to develop a plan to deal with the double cohort that will come through 4 years from now when all of the grade nines are in a four-year program as opposed to a five-year program. In essence, we have to have a plan. Right now, there isn't a plan in place, and we're going to move forward with that very quickly.
Mr. Wood.
Well, at the elementary and secondary level, what we did was introduce equal opportunity funding throughout the province, so that the money available for your students' education did not depend on whether or not they lived in a rich or poor municipality. We introduced a much more rigorous curriculum. We've introduced standardized testing, and we've introduced better report cards that make it clear to the parents and the students how the student's doing. At the post-secondary level, what we have done is look for innovative ways to resolve the problems that has existed for over 25 years, which is the universities don't feel and the colleges don't feel they have as much money as they need to do the job. And we're trying to look at ways of resolving that. Part of that is the Superbuild Fund, which is going to coordinate government spending on infrastructure in all areas of the government, and it's going to look for ways to get public-private partnerships together so that more money can go into the system. And we think we're headed in the right direction. We've basically worked very closely with universities to accomplish what we're accomplishing.
Thank you. And Mr. Plant?
Freedom Party's always supported freedom of choice in education, or in education. We think there should be more private options that people can go to, because clearly many, many people are unhappy with the direction public education has taken. If you want to know why it's a mess, you just have to look at it. Again, it's in the hands of government. If people were to decide for themselves and have freedom of choice, it wouldn't even be an issue. Freedom Party supports a voucher system in the public schools and primary and secondary schools, where parents should be allowed to direct their tax dollars to the schools of their choice. Why should I give a politician a dollar to get 40 cents back in service to pay for somewhere where my kids can go to school? Why can't I pay that directly? Bring competition into the system with the unions and the monopoly they have on the labor and the virtual monopoly that government has on the system now. That's the reason we have so many problems with it, because nobody can be happy because they don't have the choices. Government just can't give them the choices. Only the private market can give them people those choices in education.
Thank you, Ms. McNee.
The Harris government cut $1.2 billion from our schools. I'm categorically in opposition to charter schools. That's a step toward Americanization. The NDP party would cut university and college tuitions by 10%. I'm glad you've adopted that, Mr. Skidmore, and your party. We'd put money back into children's education. We'd repeal Bill 160. Let me repeat. We repeal Bill 160. Keep community schools open, protect early childhood education, and adequately support special services for special needs children and ESL students.
Thank you. And I left the other two, one-on-one questions for Mr. Skidmore and Mr. Wood unanswered as we had some callers, but I'll leave it up to you. This last segment, I can allow you to ask each other questions. Would you want me to continue? It's up to you two that haven't been questioned yet. Do you want to ask questions to the other candidates, or would you like me to ask you a question?
Well, maybe I can put a question to Daryl. Dalton McGuinty says he's going to immediately increase spending by $2.5 billion if he gets elected. He is going to do some economies to try and get some of that money, and I think that's a good thing. He's going to take money out of reserve funds, which I think is a bad thing, and he hopes that the federal government will give him $1.1 billion to pay for it. Do you think that's a tax and spend agenda is going to work? It didn't work from 1985 to 1995.
It's interesting, Bob, your assumptions that you're making, and I think we need to clarify the assumptions, first of all. We believe in a balanced approach, where you take a look at the needs of people balanced with a fiscal sense of responsibility. Quite clearly, we're going to get in the right order. We're going to balance the budget. You people could have balanced the budget this year and chose not to. Create the slush fund that you'd be able to use to throw money at the voters over the last 2 months. Quite simply, we are saying that there's money within the budget to balance it. Our commitment is, and we've put it in writing, that we'll balance the budget within a year. We have also said that once we have balanced the budget, that 55% of any excess revenue dollar will in fact go to health care and education. 25% will go in tax relief aimed at middle income and lower middle income families. And 20% will go for debt reduction. Your party's added $23 billion to the debt in this province in the name of fiscal responsibility. That's irresponsibility. And quite frankly, we are not into a tax and spend kind of mindset. We're into fiscal balance, fiscal responsibility, and the resources are there to do it, both in terms of growth. The Freedom Party having the issues of principles. I hope he's not implying that the other parties don't have principles. I think all three parties are endeavoring to have a set of principles under which they're operating. The principles may be different, but I would clearly assert that from our point of view, quite clearly, the Liberal Party is built on a set of principles that puts people first, balance.
Actually, was that a question, or if you can?
That's okay.
I was asked if I wanted to make a statement. So I
guess
I
if you, if you, we'll do is since we're running out of time, we will actually allow statements. And going into, I guess I'll just go in order of seating order, Mr. Plant, a last closing statement.
Well, it's quite surprising to hear Daryl talking about fiscal responsibility, but I understand that's the way the Liberal Party's going now, but I wonder, you know, how they can call themselves Liberals when they're talking about that. I mean, most of the problems we got into over the years, right from Pierre Trudeau, were from the deficit financing that he originated, and the whole country suffered from that. We know that. But I'd just like to say that the voters in this election have to look a little deeper into the issues. They're blaming Mike Harris's government now. They blamed Bob Rae's government before. They blamed David Peterson's government before that. And they have to realize that the common factor here is government. We're approaching the new millennium, the 21st century, and here we are at the end of the 20th century, still stuck in the same old statist ideas, bouncing back and forth from liberal to conservative. We don't like one, so we vote the other, and we go back and forth. We need new ideas. Freedom Party has ideas, great ideas, and I encourage anybody after the election, after it's over and you've been disappointed again, get in touch with Freedom Party.
And Sandra McNee from the NDP Party, your closing statement, please.
Yep. Well, this London West is a fine community, and we've seen it slip a bit in the last 4 years. But I have a belief in sense of community, and I have a desire to represent this community at Queen's Park. I'm angry that this province is slipping toward a two-tier education system and a two-tier health system. And I know that Ontarians want accessibility to health care and services, not charter schools and not-for-profit health care.
And thank you very much. And Mr. Skidmore, your closing statement.
Very clearly, London West has been identified as a great community. It needs a strong representation. It needs a champion out of London that says this is what's in the best interest of London and London West. It does not need any more made-in-Toronto solutions that then get applied to the rest of the province in an arbitrary fashion. We need to create local community capacity, and that's what we're all about, and that's the message that I want to be able to take to Queen's Park on behalf of the constituents of London West.
Thank you. And Mr. Wood, your closing statement.
Well, I think the choice in the election is going to be whether or not the people want to continue in the direction which we're moving, and I think we're moving in the right direction, and whether or not they want strong leadership to do that, or whether they want to go back to the failed policies of tax and spend. We never did get the opportunity to hear what was going to happen if the Liberals didn't get the $1.1 billion from the federal Liberal government. There's some big questions about tax and spend to which the answers are not encouraging. And I think that the people are going to have the opportunity to build on the 540,000 new jobs, to build on the 370,000 people who've gone from dependence on social assistance to independence. And I think our province is well on its way to becoming the best place in the world to live, to work, and to raise a family. And we're asking for the people for the opportunity to do more and get us even closer to that goal.
Thank you, and thank you to all the candidates for participating in our first CHRW London West debate, and thank you for going into overtime with us, and we'll take a quick commercial pause, and I'll be back with some more talk radio, some documentaries from the journalism school students. Thank you all for being here today.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Mike Harris wants to get tough with young people.
All those squeegee kids are entrepreneurs in disguise. Harris wants to crack down on street youth rather than nurture their creativity.
Although young offenders are the most troubled and abused children in our communities, Harris advocates for strict discipline facilities that simply increase the sense of rage and injustice that young offenders already feel.
Although youth crime decreased by 5% in 1998, and even though Canada is the leading nation for imprisoning young people, Harris promotes the myth of rampant youth crime and a soft Young Offenders Act.
Although youth incarceration is 4 times higher in Canada than it is for adults, Harris wants to expose even more kids to the influence of deviant peers in residential settings.
Harris wants uniform dress codes at schools to create docile children who will become docile workers as adults.
And Harris wants mandatory daily singing of O Canada in schools, demonstrating once again how patriotism becomes the last refuge of a scoundrel.
On June 3rd, escape from the prison house of simple-minded Tory propaganda.
Punish the real criminals.
Defeat Harris.
A message from the Children's First campaign of the Ontario Public Service Employees Union.
The Ontario provincial election is coming, and there are changes to the election process you should know about. There won't be a province-wide enumeration this time, but Elections Ontario agents will canvass some neighborhoods in the next few days. Please welcome them if they come to your door. For more information, look for the Elections Ontario ad in your local paper or call us at 1-888-ONT-VOTE. That's 1-888-ONT-VOTE. Elections Ontario. Keeping you informed.
Proudly supported by CHRW 94.7 FM, radio with relevance.
And this is Mike Pereira concluding another episode of Talk Radio. Join us next week where we have the All Candidates Debate of London North Centre. And you can call us in live to participate. This was a great debate, and next week's will be a great debate as well. And if any students are in there, really call in. We need to hear your voice in there, and we really need you to vote in the upcoming elections as well. If you're in town or your local riding,
recordings, in which case you're not hearing me speak. So it's great to participate in the election. It's your opportunity in 4 or 5 years to exercise your right to ask questions of the candidates and to participate in that way. So next week, it's my little take on helping out democracy. I'm hosting the All Candidates Debate for London North Centre, and hopefully we'll get some more callers. I'll try to allow as many more calls than possible. Thank you for all the people who called in, and that's next week at Talk Radio. I'm Mike Pereira. This is CHRW 94.7 FM. Play a little musical extra and welcome the next show. Thanks very much for listening, and your feedback is always appreciated. Email us on the CHRW website, chrw.fm.net. Find our email, send some feedback, and see you next week.